Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Welcome to the Freedom Report. First, a message from our sponsors. The Libertarian Republic is brought to you in part by Amagi Metals. Amagi Metals is TLR's trusted metals dealer, and their mission is to help simplify the buying process of metals while illuminating the importance of financial responsibility and sound money. So, if you've been thinking about getting into metals, go to amagimetals.com and check them out. That's amagimetals.com. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here with my co-host Ian Hewitt at the Freedom Report. Welcome, Ian.
Good morning.
Good morning. Today is Thursday, March the 6th, and today we're going to be talking about child support. Specifically, should men be required to pay it? We saw an article on our friend's website over at thoughtsonliberty.com yesterday, and it got me thinking. The article is called Admit It: Government Screws Over Men Who Don't Want to Be Fathers. Scott Bolig of Wakini, Kansas, was recently charged with first-degree murder for lacing his girlfriend's pancakes with a crushed abortion-inducing drug and killing an 8-to-10-week-old fetus. Operation Rescue profiled this story last week to highlight yet another instance of the evils of abortion, with Troy Newman quoted as calling for prohibition of the online sale and distribution of mifepristone. So the author of this article says that she wants to highlight two concerns about this. On the one hand, there's the woman's right to bodily autonomy, which we should all have. Right. And on the other hand, the scope of a man's right to decide whether or not to become a parent. Now, the bodily autonomy integrity of Bullock's girlfriend, Naomi Abbott, was violated. Now, even with these details, you can assume that Abbott had every intention to carry the child to full term, and so Bolig, basically, he had no right to override her decision, regardless of whether or not she opted to carry the child to full term and raise it. Now, the overlooked aspect of the case is that Bolig did not and could not have had much of a say in the decision to continue the pregnancy, and that, of course, complicated the situation quite a bit. So the question here is, Ian, is that if men have no reproductive rights, why should they have any reproductive responsibilities?
Well, I think what's very clear in this case is no matter what your opinion is on this very contentious issue, if it is not murder or anything like murder to have an abortion...
If you're pro-choice.
Right. If you espouse that position, you cannot espouse the position that it is murder if, in this case, a man... aborts a woman's fetus against her will. It's assault, perhaps, or something like that. He's clearly violated her personhood.
Well, she got a little sick, and then she miscarried is what this drug did. So basically,
right,
you could say a small assault.
But if you say, on the one hand, abortion, you know, is not even a crime, it's there's no immorality there, and then on the other hand, you say a man commits murder when he aborts a woman's fetus without her consent, that is completely incoherent and inconsistent. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Right. I'm personally pro-life. My position is very nuanced on this. It's not as if I'm like, you know, all 50 states, federal ban on abortion kind of a thing. But what I believe on abortion is that, you know, that we should be encouraging people not to get abortions. I think that human life is important and that we should carry it on. First, for secular reasons. Secular pro-life. But when it comes to the act...
There's an increasing number of secular pro-lifers.
You know, people who value life, you know, whether or not it comes from the position of the sacred. And so I certainly take that position. But what I really want to discuss here is the question of child support. Now, here's another article that I want to read to you, Ian, and then I want to get into the discussion of whether or not men should be paying child support. And my answer to that is going to be no. And let's talk about this after this. Now, this is from the Washington Examiner, a man by the name of Stephen Baskerville. The article is called, When Child Support Becomes Extortion, Families Lose. Every few years, Virginia officials try to push through measures that will divide families, plunder and incarcerate law-abiding parents, and channel money to lawmakers' cronies, such as lawyers and civil servants. Proponents of HB 933, now before the state Senate, have offered no justification whatsoever for increasing child support, since child support increases automatically with the cost of living. Now, this is here in Virginia. Now, Baskerville was a member of Virginia's advisory child support review panel, and he witnessed how officials rigged this child support process. The panel was packed with divorce operatives with pecuniary interests in making divorce more lucrative and more common. It consulted only, quote, experts who urged increases and ignored scholars like Bryce Christensen, who points out the linkage between aggressive child support policies and the erosion of wedlock, and who charges that advocates of ever more aggressive measures for collecting child support have moved us a dangerous step closer to a police state. When Baskerville described these abuses in a major newspaper, he was promptly removed from the panel. Now, they basically said that the opinions that he published in the Washington Times were the reason. The then health secretary at the time in Virginia said, I find it difficult to see how you could effectively participate along with representatives of other groups that very likely have different perspectives than yours. So, and what he's saying is that all the members of this group, this Child Advisory Support Review Panel in Virginia, they all have a vested interest in higher child support burdens. Now, listen to this. Baskerville's key point is that when it comes to state-dictated child support issues, the fix is in. It's only strengthened when he's sacked for making it. So child support is falsely advertised as requiring parents to pay for children they have willfully abandoned, right? That's mm-hmm. Child support's supposed to be. If you're a deadbeat dad, you're supposed to pay child support. But Virginia's practice reveals it's become a shakedown of parents whose children have been seized by divorce courts. Once citizens can be forced to pay the government money they have done nothing to owe, there is no limit to what the amount the government can loot. Child support is now extracted at gunpoint without reference to a host of unanswered questions. Why are so many children being separated from their parents in the first place? Who decides how much parents who have committed no legal wrong can be required to pay? What ensures it's spent on the children? And why are parents being jailed en masse without trial? Now, I'm almost finished here. The Urban Institute reports that unpaid support accrues because orders are set too high to the relative to the ability to pay. And like welfare, child support subsidizes single-parent homes. So it basically is paying mothers to divorce.
And when you subsidize something, you encourage
That's right. And it pays to bear, and it pays, subsidizes people to bear children out of wedlock. So the mother is actually incentivized not to get married because she's going to get child support if she doesn't like the guy. Economist Robert Willis calculates only a fraction of child support payments are actually spent on children. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Only a fraction of child support payments are actually spent on children. The rest creates an incentive for divorce by the custodial mother. It's basically, this is another couple of journalists and economists who have written that child support serves as a, quote, economic incentive for middle-class women to seek divorce. State governments also generate revenue from child support, courtesy of federal taxpayers, giving officials a financial incentive to encourage divorce and unwed childbearing. This is why state governments set child support at onerous levels. Not only does it immediately maximize their revenues by encouraging mothers to divorce, governments increase the number of paying fathers, thus generating more revenue. This accounts for absurdities like boys forced to pay the child molesters who rape them. At this point, all this points to a bureaucratic regime that is not simply flawed or inefficient, but one that is creating the very problems it claims to be solving. Your thoughts, Ian?
Well, you know, on a moral level, I think that ultimately you either have to affirm the position, and this is true regardless of, I think, whether you're secular or religious. You have to be consistent, affirm the position that if you've consciously created a being and you failed to sustain their life, you've done something immoral. Mm-hmm. Or you have to take a position that is common among the academic left, Peter Singer, for example. And this is a view that Murray Rothbard shared infamously, that parents have no parental obligations, and even so-called post-birth abortion is acceptable. I think that really anything in between those two involves sort of drawing arbitrary lines and a kind of magical thinking. Now, I fall into the former camp. I think that you have committed a sort of initiation of force if you consciously choose to create a being and don't sustain their life. But I agree with the author of this Thoughts on Liberty piece, Gina O'Neill Santiago, that any sort of enforcement of that should be bottom up. And I absolutely agree with you that centralized federal enforcement exacerbates the problem enormously. And I think we've just looked at several examples of that here.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here's my reasoning, and I'm sure a lot of the ladies who are listening are very angry with me right now, but I want to explain the reason why I believe that men should not be required to pay child support in the current context. Because the reason is because, first of all, we are paying now for Obamacare, which is free birth control. And that is a payment that is extracted from me against my will. And I'm also paying for, you're paying taxes for abortions. And so if you're subsidizing Planned Parenthood, then you're basically funding abortions. And here's the reason why I think that in the current political context, it's not fair to make men pay child support at all, a dime, a single dime. Because men have no reproductive rights. Like this case that we talked about here where the guy gave her the pill. That's because that aberration comes because he has absolutely zero say in the reproductive process. And indeed the woman who wrote this article says that in order for us to solve these kinds of problems, we need to have more equality in parental choice of the father. Now, someone is in my ideal world is someone who is pro-life, it should be a shared decision between the two parents on whether or not, you know, there's going to be some sort of a child support agreement. But the state should not be coming in to extract child support from the father. And the reason is because the woman can say, I choose not to have the baby. I choose an abortion. Well, we've already paid for your abortion, so you can have it. So my thing is that if you're actually pro-choice... Well, so
if you repealed the child support payments we're talking about, men would still be paying them through taxes.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's already happening. So, I mean, it's not that you think in the current context men ought to pay nothing for child support. You're saying, well, they're already doing it anyway, so why have an additional payment on top of that?
Sort of. Mm-hmm. And what I really mean to say is that in the current political context is that men have absolutely zero say in the reproductive process. Women can have an abortion if they wish. And if you're pro-choice, you should be agreeing with me. Because, again, women have 100% of the say on whether or not to have a baby. She can choose to have the baby, or she can choose not to. Men have no say either way. So if men have no say, why do they have to pay?
This is an issue where people are very, on both sides, are very unwilling to come to logically consistent, coherent worldviews. Mm-hmm. And Santiago, the author of this Thoughts on Liberty column, offers an interesting Walter Block sort of solution. She mentions at one point, a couple could decide ahead of time by some sort of contract that the man would not be able to opt out of parenthood in the event of an unplanned pregnancy. Now, would she support that same thing for a woman? Mm-hmm. Should a woman be able to sign a contract like that and not be able to opt out of parenthood? I don't know. I'd be interested in asking her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, this to me reeks of the double standards that we have again in society when it comes to reproduction, when it comes to sex, and when it comes to gender. You know, for example, you know, we've been talking about the one of the key points in here was that, you know, men, the boys are forced to pay child support for child molesters who rape them. So, you know, and we're talking about statutory rape here, ladies and gentlemen. So if, like, for example, we talk about the teachers who statutorily rape their students, if they got pregnant, they would be required to pay child support after they raped this little boy. I mean, that is just how onerous the state has become when it comes to coming after fathers. You know, and really, the state wants to step in and play the role of daddy, but they just want to use men as a purse to extract wealth from and to redistribute it to its favored constituency, which is women and minorities.
Right. Well, that's definitely apt. I think that if we look at we've talked about some famous celebrity child support cases recently.
Right. You wrote about this. Tell us about the story.
Courts will effectively use child support to extract large amounts of money from wealthy men. And these child support payments can be several times the cost of actually raising a child.
Right, this was R. Kelly, right?
Now, right. R. Kelly was required to pay $20,000 a month
in child support. $20,000 a month? You're out of your mind.
That's for three children, but that's several times the cost required to raise three children on average. And there's a famous case where this casino mogul, Kirk Kerkorian, was required to pay $10 million in child support to one daughter. Now, the fact that this is proportional to wealth, you might think that's immoral. But if it is moral, it's not because that's the cost required to raise a child. It's because you believe in some sort of redistributive system.
Right.
And that's largely what this system has become.
Right, exactly. Which, you know, again, it comes down to the question of psychology. You know, what do you really want to get out of people and who are you trying to benefit in the current system, I think. Well, this is a really hot topic. I'm sure I got a brand new slew of haters today. Ian, you probably managed to avoid it today. So tell us what you think, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks a lot for listening to the podcast today. Again, we are brought to you by our friends Puff Wealth at Puff Wealth Management, my buddy Adam Puff. You got some Federal Reserve notes sitting on your mattress. Don't let them sit there. They're just losing value. So give them to Adam Puff. He'll put it away for you somewhere safe and help you make a little bit of money on the side, on the back end of that. So we're going to CPAC tomorrow. Ian and I are going to head over to the hotel. What's the name of that place? It's the...
I don't remember.
He has no idea. Okay, we'll figure it out tonight. But we're going to go to CPAC, do a bunch of interviews. We'll do some cool stuff. We've got also exciting scoop. The girl who quit Russia Today yesterday publicly, Liz Wall, the anchor, who's actually a buddy of mine over at Russia Today, says she's going to come and do an episode of the podcast here soon. Now, I'll be on vacation next week. Ian will be taking over the LibertarianRepublic.com, so don't forget to come back every single day because you'll still get your news from a perspective of economic freedom and personal liberty at the LibertarianRepublic.com.